Joe Biden was sworn in today as the 46th president. I'm Rhonda McBride, your host for Juno Afternoon today. Biden spoke mainly about unity and bringing the country together.
I promise you, I get it. But the answer is not to turn inward, to retreat into competing factions, distrusting those who don't look like you, or worship the way you do, or don't get their news from the same sources you do. We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue, rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal. We can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts, if we show a little tolerance and humility, and if we're willing to stand in the other person's shoes, as my mom would say, just for a moment, stand in their shoes. Because here's the thing about life. There's no accounting for what fate will deal you. Some days, when you need a hand, there are other days when we're called to lend a hand. That's how it has to be. That's what we do for one another. And if we are this way, our country will be stronger, more prosperous, more ready for the future.
Well, it's really hard to tell what future generations are going to make of this day, but perhaps it is worth it to take a few moments to linger over the words that were spoken today. Will they be forgotten, or will they be quoted by future generations? And joining us now to reflect on today's events, former Lieutenant Governor Fran Ulmer, and also two former House representatives, Beth Curtula of Juneau and Mary Sattler Peltola of Bethel. Many of you may remember her as Representative Kapsner. We also have Stephen Blanchett with the Juneau Arts and Humanity Council. He's also from Bethel and better known as a member of Bumia, an Afro-Yupik a cappella group. So we've got a mix of people here. Of course, poor Steve, we left him outnumbered by women, but I'm sure he won't mind. But let's begin our conversation with just the basic first impressions of today. And we'll start with you, Fran Ulmer. Welcome to Juneau.
Thanks
afternoon.
So much. Like many other people who watched this morning, I suspect I was left with a feeling of relief and a feeling of hope. There's no doubt that our country needs some healing right now. We need healing from the devastating COVID pandemic. We need healing from our miserable economic conditions. We need healing from racism and hatred that was particularly unleashed in the last 4 years. And we need healing from the fabrication, the unsubstantiated facts that led to an insurrection and that almost overthrew our democracy. So, yeah, what I kept thinking about was we need healing, and I do believe that the Biden-Harris team can bring us that healing. So that's why I'm hopeful.
And the key word for you is relief, it sounds like it.
Yes.
All right, so let's go to Beth Curtula. Now, you actually worked for the Obama administration at one point, Beth. So you're kind of familiar with how things go. You could understand that scene at the Capitol today?
Well, I did have the honor of working for the Obama administration, as did Lieutenant Governor Ulmer. And I'll take it. It was just such a great joy when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were sworn in today. And like Fran, it was, I could kind of feel the whole country just start to breathe again. And then his wonderful quote from Psalm, you know, that there might be weeping at night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I just remember my own mother saying that. And so it just, I felt like he was tying across the country on so many different levels. But if I had one word about how I felt, it was inclusion. I mean, seeing the young poet speaking, and of course Harris herself, and just the myriad from Sotomayor, the justice swearing in Kamala Harris. It was all just this wonderful feeling of it was a real deal. And I think that is who Biden is. I think he is inclusive. And I think because of that, we have a real leg up on doing a lot better.
All right, so let's go to Mary Sattler Peltola. Mary, I remember you as a very young lawmaker, and you know, as a person like Beth and like Fran, a woman trying to make her way in the world of politics. And I remember you angrily scolding the lawmakers, "Stop reading your mail. Pay attention to what I'm saying. You know, pay attention to this issue. It's important." That was kind of when people first became really aware of you in Juneau. And so I imagine seeing Kamala Harris today on the stage was a moment for you.
You know, it was. And it's funny that that's your memory of me, because that was not probably one of my most shining moments. I learned a lot from that moment. But, you know, I think role modeling is critical. I think of the role models that I've had, Fran Ulmer, Arlister Jaluski, when she ran, Julie Kitka at AFN, Dee Dee Johnroe in the fisheries management world. And those are critical snapshot pictures, I think, that young people, you know, if we're lucky, we have, and we can imagine ourselves in those roles and in important policymaking roles. And clearly Kamala Harris is going to provide that for a lot of people. And the fact that she's both Indian and Black speaks to me as someone who's double. And I know you're double, Rhonda. I think so many of us come from mixed backgrounds where we know it is a multiplier and not a divider. And that is very encouraging to me as well. And how well she works with Joe Biden. And, you know, just both of them are exceptional in establishing relationships and working well. And, you know, one of my big takeaways today is I'm so happy and relieved, and not in a partisan way, but just as a American person who believes in working with people who are different and always finding common ground. So that gives me just a lot of hope and inspiration today.
You know, but I think that moment in the legislature when you stood up was a shining moment. Maybe not to you, but it was common sense. It's like, come on, we have the people's business to pay attention to, not our text messages. But also, you know, one thing I should mention, too, is that you brought Cuspid Day to the legislature. That was one of your contributions to multiculturalism. And now we come to Stephen Blanchett, our lone male, in this first part of our conversation. Steve, what were your takeaways today as an African-American and a Yupik? I've been asking everyone their impressions of the speech, what their immediate takeaway was of President Biden's speech.
Well, I think my immediate takeaway was just that tone of uniting us, bringing unity. You know, it was funny because I was just, as I was watching it and watching everything kind of unfolding, we hadn't seen the sun here in so long in Juneau, and the sun just came shining through the window, and I was just like, it just felt like there was a change, like change was happening.
You know, it did feel like we were at some kind of a turning point. You know, you have young children, right? Did they watch with you this morning?
Yeah, my littlest one, who's sitting next to me right now, she was watching it with us.
And I guess she's small, so it's probably hard to remember what she will take away from this day. But do you think that this is a day that we will long remember, especially after the events leading up to it?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, there's so many things from this I'm maybe taking away from. And even just watching and seeing people's different reactions on social media and how much it has really been moving people. You know, I'll never forget this, and you know, there's a sea change happening. It feels like there's a brighter future happening. This kind of darkness that we've been a part of, not only just from the administration, but from the pandemic as well. But yeah, this will be a day that we'll remember for a long time.
And there was space given for the pandemic, the moment of silence. So
yeah.
Many, many things. This speech encompassed a lot of territory. I'm going to go back to Fran Ulmer. The president spoke of unity, but sometimes it's harder to realize these words given the current climate. How do you think that can happen? Can it happen?
Well, I'm the eternal optimist, Rhonda, so of course I think it can, because it must. It's not kind of a question of if, it's a question of how many people will bring their love of country ahead of their partisan bickering and ahead of their desire for power or self-aggrandizement. And now more than ever, I think particularly after the terrible insurrection attempt of recent days, I think there is more of an awakening, frankly, of that sense of commitment to the rule of law, commitment to upholding fair and free elections, commitment to decency and common sense. I really sense that that is happening, regardless of who you are, where you live, what your political party is. I think it, as terrible as that event was, I think it was a watershed moment to actually help bring unity back. And again, I hope time proves me right. I don't know that it will, but I do feel as though it must, because not only is our self-image and our ability to move forward as a free nation on the line, but frankly, how the rest of the world views us and will deal with us. So yes, I think it's possible.
So can you bring people up to date on what you're doing now? You sort of have a special role.
So I'm working for Harvard. I'm a senior fellow in what's called the Arctic Initiative at the Kennedy School. And I'm having a very good time lecturing, writing about Arctic change and mentoring graduate students. And I see a lot of people at the Kennedy School who are literally from all over the world. So I kind of have maybe more than all the years that I just focused on Alaska, see how important it is that America regain its leadership, regain the ability to help persuade and lead internationally, not just within our own country. And I do think that the kind of decency and honor and competency and principled leadership that Joe Biden will bring will help us restore that international image as well.
And of course, you know, we have big fires to put out literally with climate change. So are you optimistic that issue will get a little more attention in the Biden administration?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's going to get a lot of attention. I mean, he has put together an amazing team of people who not only understand the urgency of the issue, but have real-world problem-solving skills that can make it quite clear to people who are, at least people who are willing to listen, how much this is actually an economic opportunity and an opportunity to improve the health and well-being of people in addition to our atmosphere and our environment. So yes, I see that as being one of the driving forces of this administration, as it must be, because we are running out of time as a people, as a planet, to address this incredible challenge.
So Beth, you are also passionate about trying to stave off the impacts of climate change, addressing this issue. What are your thoughts on where we go now with this new administration?
Well, I think, as Fran does, that President Sorry, I was going to say Obama. It was great to see him today, too. President Biden has already appointed some wonderful people to work on the issue, but also he just made the chief scientist, so the head of something called the Office of Science Technology Policy, where my job was located, he just made the chief scientist a cabinet position. And that's just a wonderful recognition, but moreover, it's so important because I was talking to John Davies, who was in the legislature with us last night, and he's a PhD and really had this tremendous grip on just how things work and how to do things. And I can remember, you know, John getting up during session once in a while saying, that is not how that works. Like, the law of physics will not allow that to work that way. And it's just such a help. I mean, to have the chief scientist, climate, front and center, this will just move mountains for us. I mean, when I was there, we couldn't even get the money figured out to be able to really, truly help Shishmaref and New, I'm going to say it wrong, the Tarvik, but, you know, start to really move. And the bureaucracy is just that heavy. So I feel really hopeful. Biden knows. I mean, this is a man whose experience is so deep. He knows, he understands, he's putting good people in. It is going to move our world by what he's doing already. So I'm really hopeful.
Well, Mary Peltola, I need to ask you this because people probably don't realize you have a new hat, that you're executive director of the Kuskokwim Intertribal Council. Is that, do I have that correct? It's a fisheries management organization. And of course, they've had to deal with climate change directly with the impact on the King Salmon Run. Is that going to be an issue that's going to be big for Southwest Alaska and rural Alaska? Is the impact of climate change on fisheries?
Absolutely. We have been, you know, trying to work around some really big changes in the returns on not just Chinook, but now other species as well, coming back to the Kuskokwim. For 10 years now, we've been really trying to balance, making sure that we've got eggs in the gravel and we're still allowed to do some harvest, because so much of our subsistence larder, especially on the, you know, well, the entire Kuskokwim watershed, it relies on salmon. Our word for food is the same word as our word for fish. So we are very, and unfortunately, I think we're going to be tackling this issue for many years to come, because a salmon's life cycle is, you know, it used to be about 7 years and now it's about 5 years. So we've only dealt now with maybe two life cycles since this issue has come up for us. And, you know, I just don't see a scenario for the rest of my life where we're not really trying to work around global warming and climate change.
So are you excited, Mary, about Deb Haaland being head of the U.S. Interior Department, a Native American?
Absolutely. 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 You know, the Department of Interior has a lot of control over the daily lives of Alaska Natives and lower 48 Indians. And I'm amazed that it's taken this long to have, you know, a First Nations or Indigenous person at the helm of that department, because it, you know, impacts so many of us in terms of our Native allotments, in terms of Bureau of Indian Affairs, in terms of ANILCA and the Federal Subsistence Board. It affects us every day of every year of our life.
I want to just stop a little bit and just play some audio, because for me personally, and many people I've talked to today, that one of the high points of the inaugural event was from poet Amanda Gordon. And here are some of her words.
Being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a forest that would shatter our nation rather than share it, would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated.
So I'm going to go to Steve Blanchett. What was it like to hear a poet so powerful mesmerize the crowd as an artist yourself?
Well, you know, I guess as an artist, you know, watching and listening to all of the performances that happened this morning, I mean, it's inspiring. The words are inspiring and the performances were inspiring. And I'm really looking forward to the upcoming performances as well. Some of my favorite performers are coming up. So, you know, it's like one of those dreams that you have, you know, as a performer, of thinking about being able to perform for, you know, at the White House for administration, you know, and you know, I was there at Obama's inauguration, and I wish I could have been there today, but hearing the words and seeing the inspirational performances, that's one of my highlights of watching this, you know, pageantry and this ceremony that's happening that we just all saw.
Well, I hope, you know, that it's enough to kind of take the stain away from the past events that we've had and help us move forward. In wrapping up, I want to ask each of you, and we'll go back to Fran Ulmer on this. What is the one moment today that stands out to your favorite moment in this event? Fran?
That's a hard question because there were so many wonderful moments that actually brought tears to my eyes. But I would have to say that Amanda Gordon summarized through poetry the magic of America and the importance of our coming together. That phrase, we close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must put our differences aside. And that kind of sums it up as far as I'm concerned when I think about my grandchild, when I think about where we've come and where we need to go. It is that putting the differences aside and being able to come together as one people and one nation. That is the moment that captured it all for me.
And let's go to Beth Curtula. And I forgot to mention, Beth, that your father recently passed. And do you wonder what he would have made of today's speech?
Oh, I know he would have loved it. I hated that he wasn't here to see it, but I know who he voted for, so I know he would have loved it. He was happy with the returns. So now that just made me lose.
Your train of thought? Sorry.
Right. No. It really made me focus. There's a lot of things I loved about the whole ceremony and about the speakers and all the singers. I mean, Gaga knocking it out of the ballpark. But, you know, what I really liked, because there were so few people, it seemed like it was a lot easier to tell who was there and who the people were. And, you know, just watching people walking in, I just enjoyed that so much, seeing the people and the names and seeing how happy, again, not partisan, how happy they were to be there. And, you know, watching Michelle Obama walking in, looking like the rock star she is. I loved it. I loved watching the people coming in and then feeling that sense of hope like everyone's talked about.
Mary Peltola?
Well, I loved all the pageantry, and, you know, there was a part in the inaugural address where President Biden spoke about, you know, the basic tenets of truth and facts and reliable sources and combating misinformation, and that is so important right now. And, you know, it's a UPIC value, but I think it's a universal value of honesty and truthfulness. And that spoke to me in this moment. But I think my favorite moment was when Garth Brooks hugged all of the former presidents because he didn't want to leave anybody out. I mean, it was just really touching and funny and human. And I loved, you know, his performance and what he brought to today.
Steve Blanchett, we'll let you have the last word. Favorite moment today?
Oh, thank you. Oh, Mary, that was mine, man. Garth Brooks. It's kind of going up and hugging everybody and just, yeah, he didn't want that moment to end. That was really special to see. But I think I think seeing Kamala Harris up there, I mean, just that right there, that's amazing.
History today in the making, a day that we hope will have good vibes that carry over and spill into the coming years. Thanks very much, both all of you, for joining us. Fran Ulmer, Beth Curtula, Mary Sattler Peltola, Stephen Blanchett. Thanks for taking the time to join us on Juno Afternoon. Share your thoughts on today's presidential rite of passage. And now, a few more words from Amanda Gorton.
How could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? Now we assert. How could catastrophe possibly prevail over us? We will not march back to what was, but move to what shall be, a country that is bruised but whole, benevolent but bold, fierce and free. We will not be turned around or interrupted by intimidation, because we know our inaction and inertia will be the inheritance of the next generation. Our blunders become their burdens. But one thing is certain: if we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy and change our children's birthright. So let us leave behind a country better than the one we were left. With every breath from my bronze-pounded chest, we will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the gold.